Welcome to TTM Cast, your sports collectibles podcast.
Sponsored by CGC Cards, card grading all in one place. CGC Cards is devoted to expert grading of collectible cards, including TCGs, sports cards, and non-sports cards.
And by SportsCollectorsDaily.com. If it happens in the hobby, you'll find it on SportsCollectorsDaily.com.
And sponsored by GemRate.com. The latest grading statistic from the four major grading companies is just a click away. Visit GemRate.com. It's free.
And now, here's our host, Drew Pelto.
Hello, everybody. Once again, we are coming to you with TTM Cast, your sports collectibles podcast, where we talk about TTM, cards, autographs, collecting, anything like that, and a whole lot more. This is Season 6, Episode 12, I believe, that we're into now here. April 6th, 2024. We're recording this on Friday the 5th, so coming to you a little bit early with it. And this is, of course, a nationally ranked sports collectibles podcast. My name is Drew Pelto. I am the host of the show. And we are joined once again by my co-host, Troy Rudder. Troy, good to have you on board.
Hey, great to be back this week. Thanks for recording a little bit earlier for me this week.
Absolutely, no problem. Because we're gonna have you out the next 2 weeks. We've got some good substitutes lined up there for those. So definitely looking forward to that. And I'm sure you'll be enjoying the time off there as well.
I don't know if it'd be time off, but you know.
Okay. Well, time away from the microphone here.
Oh, there you go. So yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. There'll be some event filled days there. So
nice, nice. Well, speaking of events. The Final Four is upon us now for both the men and the women. I actually have the women's game background right now here between NC State and South Carolina, with South Carolina coming in 36-0 so far, which is absolutely ridiculous. You've got UConn and Iowa coming up later tonight. NC State and UConn, though, it's an outside chance, but you might see an NC State versus UConn national championship in both the men's and women's that could potentially line up that way.
Yeah, that'd be really crazy. I don't know when's the last time that has happened.
I'm not sure if it ever has. I'll have to check in that.
What are the odds?
64 teams on both sides. Low.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got a little heat from my friends on Facebook because I always joke about ordering the team that's playing the Iowa Hawkeyes on Amazon Prime to trying to get it in before the game, and so. I'll admit that I am pulling for the Hawkeyes somewhere deep down inside of me. So,
yeah, I mean, Caitlin Clark is absolutely amazing. It's fun watching her. And I mean, I watched part of the Iowa LSU game there the other night, too. And I mean, that's the clash of the Titans right there. And I would say, I mean, that matchup may be the best game out of the entire tournament, both men's and women's side. It's just been the women's side has been so great this year.
Yeah, I was watching the news the other night, and the viewing on the women's games has just been insane because of Caitlin and because of, you know, the rivalry and everything with LSU. So it's breaking all sorts of records, and it's nice to see them getting some of the recognition that they deserve. So.
Hopefully we're going to have some news to talk about in a couple weeks. I know that there's something big coming up involving women's basketball, and I can't say anything about it just yet. It hasn't been made public, but hopefully we'll have a little bit to talk about here in about a couple weeks there about some things coming up with one of the players there. So, I mean, we've already had, you know, Caitlin Clark sign out with Panini. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of interesting. There's more coming on the way. There might be.
Oh, hey, something to look forward to, huh?
Yeah. So got stuff upcoming here. I haven't really done a whole lot of hobby stuff here this week. It's mostly been just, you know, sitting around waiting on the mail to get here because I've got still more cards coming in for my first minor league outings, but those start next weekend. So very happy, very excited to do that. Going to have the Frisco Rough Riders playing at home against, I believe, let's see, who is that? It's the Corpus Christi Hooks coming in for the first series. So
okay.
Going to be seeing both those teams. So I've been picking up cards for that. And, I'm still getting lazy on my TTMs. I still have not sent out the ones I said I was going to write and do, but hey, at least I've got some in-person stuff coming up. So I got that going for me, which is nice. So there you go. Troy, what do you got going on? What's any fun pickups here recently?
Well, I do know that the Iowa Cubs started their first home games this week. I haven't been able to do that. All my friends are like, going to the game. And I'm like, it's 2 p.m. How did you get off work? You know, take me. But for me this week, I actually sat down and did some TTMs and So far in March and April, I have about 170 total out. So I went a little crazy. Still have I still have a bunch of those hoops cards that to go through. Hopefully I'll get through A to Z for those here soon, so I can put that box away for another year, because I usually only send to people like once every two or sometimes even 3 years. That's just the way I am. So and I'm gonna, like you said, I'm gonna be out the next couple of weeks heading out camping in Kansas. So
nice.
At least next week's Kansas, the week after is kind of closer to home. So I'm driving about 5 hours, not for the eclipse, cause that's this weekend, but just kind of getting out there, and we're done with the cabins. So now it's all intense, as they say.
Yes. There you go. So going back to what you said there about sending to only every 2 to 3 years, that's probably a good plan. Cause I get asked a lot by people, you know, how soon is too soon to send to somebody again? And my personal policy, I always say, you know, don't do it within 6 months. I'd say even a year or so. Going 2 to 3 years, I think that's probably pretty good right there. But yeah, I'll be mentioning that once I talk about my successes here a little bit as well, since I had a couple of, not repeat offenders there, but whatever the opposite of that would be, the repeat successes, I guess, there. But a couple of those guys will come up once we get to that later on in the show.
Yeah, I always give my friend Chase a little bit of grief, because seems like he's sending out to Charlie Huff, you know, every week there. Chase today, he's like, no, it's been a year or 6 months. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Just got to be careful of that, because, I mean, that's what killed off Rick Ruschel from signing for a little while, was get people sending, you know, 6 cards every month or so to him. And he's just like, all right, that's enough. And he shut it down for us. But fortunately, he's back to it now. And hopefully nobody goes getting crazy on him again there like that. But yeah.
Yeah.
I saw you said you redid your website there a little bit as well. So definitely cool to see that. I might have to look into mine and see if I can make any updates there, because I like that banner there that you showed me there for it.
Yeah, I had a little too fun with ChatGPT the other day, or actually today, making that, and just needed something new. And the website, what happened was I had a paid theme and I didn't renew it. And then I made one change and it like crashed the whole thing. So I'm like, well,
geez.
Looks like I'm going back to basics. And so I just kind of went simpler, ttmautograph.com, and just kind of rebuilding that up, redoing all the links, because a lot of the links were dead from previous places I was linking to. Got the TTM cast up on there.
All right.
On the right-hand side, and just kind of rebuilding that. I'd like to have as many resources as possible. And so I've kind of been neglecting it. And so just kind of worked on it a little bit last night.
It's good to have a refresh every so often anyways. So yeah, there you go. On this week's show, we have Clemente's World, as Clemente Lisi is going to join us. We're going to be talking about some hockey. I mean, Connor Bedard has been the big name in hockey, but we're going to be talking about the other rookie cards you can find out right now, and guys that are worth looking into that are not named Connor Bedard. So make sure to stick around for that. That'll come in right after Baker's Dozen, where we will start off the show with all of the news and highlights from the hobby world from the previous week. Clemente's World is then followed up by Making the Grade, where we'll talk about all things related to grading, give our TTM cast stamp of approval, where Troy and I give our thumbs up to something from the previous week. Could be just about anything. You never know what it's going to be out of us. We'll get into the Vern Rap Minute, covering deaths in the world of sports, celebrity, music, movies, politics. Anybody that you might consider TTMing, we'll let you know if they've passed away. And of course, the main reason why we all are here, it is our TTM returns. You can also contact us very easily through a number of avenues. Troy, what is the email address that they could get to us all through?
The best email is ttmcast@yahoo.com.
There you go. Might be having some giveaways through there coming up soon as well. I've been talking to Ruthie Baker, our producer of the show, about some of that. So keep your ears open there. We'll be talking about those over the next couple of weeks when we decide to what we're going to be giving away for those. If you want to reach me directly, if you want to reach me directly, as I revert to 16 years old there for a moment, if you want to reach me directly, it's dfwgraffer@gmail.com. All right. I think we're introduced pretty well. Let's go ahead and take a look at Baker's Dozen.
Baker's Dozen, sponsored by SportsCollectorsDaily.com. Smart collectors turn to Sports Collectors Daily to stay up to date. From new releases to incredible collections hitting the auction block, news from inside the business of sports collectibles, and much more, Sports Collectors Daily has it, all with no subscription cost. SC Daily also delivers a live look at the most watched sports card auctions on eBay for every sport. Sign up to get the headlines in your email for free, or just visit the website whenever you like. With 16,000 stories in the archive going back 16 years, there is always plenty to read at sportscollectorsdaily.com.
Baker's Dozen is a summary of all things in collectibles news from the previous week. I want to remind you of Five Star Dynasty. Five Star Dynasty is a collectible trading card game being put out by my friend Amir Kim Al-Malawani. I think they're still taking some orders through their website right now at fivestardynasty.com. And I believe they still have that Instagram bonus going for their listeners. Follow them on Instagram, Five Star Dynasty Game. And if you make a purchase of one of their sets, make sure you message them on Instagram. Say that you're a TTM Cast listener. They might have a bonus to put in with your order. I also have a weekly article up on Sports Collectors Daily talking about all things TTM, going through all my returns. You can see them all on there as well. I put pictures up on everything that I get in. And this week, we talk a little bit about some easily accessible baseball signers as well. Of course, you know, opening day coming this past week or so. So if you want to get on the baseball bandwagon, start the season right, go and check out that list there. You got 25 guys you get to send out to very easily, 20 of them for free, 5 of them who charge. We got some hobby news coming up here as well. A lot of auction news, actually, to lead things off. We mentioned before we had the Robert Edwards auction from back in March, and that saw several pre-war cards breaking some sales records. So if you're a fan of the old-time stuff there, you may have seen they had a 1933 Gaudi Babe Ruth card with a PSA 6 grade. It has surpassed its previous high sale price. It hit $32,400 in that auction. If you prefer the tobacco cards, the T206 Ty Cobb bat off shoulder with a Tolstoy back, PSA 5 grade on it, went for $27,600. A couple other big sellers in that REA auction were a 1976 Topps Reggie Jackson PSA 10 grade on that, $30,000, the final sale price on that. And the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson rookie card graded a PSA 9 has nearly doubled in the last 2 years now. May remember that Jeff and I mentioned that a couple of years ago when it broke the, I believe, $15,000 mark or something like that 2 years ago. Well, now it's gone for $25,000. So if you like high-grade vintage stuff, there's a big one right there. 3,300 lots in that auction generate over $1.3 million in sales.
Wow. Yeah, other auction news, only one of only two known jerseys from Walter Johnson is going up for auction in the latest Heritage Auctions spring catalog. Now, the only other known jersey is actually on display at the Baseball Hall of Fame, and this particular one last sold in 2006 for $352,000. And kind of like you know, that Bird Magic card, it has increased quite a bit. So $352,000 in 2006, and is expected to go over $3 million this time around. So not a bad return on investment for that jersey right there.
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, what can you say? I mean, it's one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and there's only two out there, and one of them isn't going anywhere out of the Hall of Fame there. So that's pretty much a one of a kind in the collectibles world, at least. That's for sure.
I just hope they don't cut it up for a card or something, you know. They wouldn't do that with it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the only pair of George Vezina's goalie pads got cut up to put into cards. So who knows? I mean, is nothing sacred? Clearly, no. Well, the National has doubled up on us this week. You know, they've been announcing one signer every day, every Wednesday, I should say, for the last, I think, since the start of the year, pretty much. Seems like we're getting one every single week in there. And, well, they made it two for this week, as added to the list of signers for this year's show in Cleveland. Former Indians shortstop Omar Vizquel and pitcher Bartolo Colon are on the autograph signers list for it now. It's the first National appearance for either player. Once again, no prices yet on what they're going to be charging. Those will be coming up probably in some point in April, May, June. They'll probably have those up, probably May or June, because I mean, we're into April and I don't see any sign of it. But as always, NSCCShow.com is your place to go for all info about the National Sports Collectors Convention. Well, kind of a light week for news, and, well, it's going to be an even lighter week on releases, but There is one big one, and it's actually our only release we're really talking anything about here. So, Troy, we'll let you go ahead and take that one.
Yeah, we have 2024 Topps Heritage. Everybody always looks forward to the Heritage coming out. That will be out on April 10th. That will be 9 cards per pack and 24 packs per box. And that will have either one auto or relic per box. And this time they are featuring the designs from 1975. So not quite my birth year, but pretty darn close. And the pre-sale price for that is $105. So those are always pretty darn reasonable there.
Yes. I've always liked the 75 design there too. I mean, 72 has always been my number one for that decade, but the 75's pretty good. If they didn't have the facsimile autograph printed on them, it might take the number one spot for me, but that knocks it down just a little bit there.
Me too. That's always been one of my, like, oh, really? Whenever they do that, on whatever years, it's like, arg.
Yeah. Well, the good news is, despite that lack of releases, we have a lot of upcoming shows here to talk about this week. This one came to us, my friend Paul Buxton, who you're going to be hearing from next week. Let me know about this one. Going over the border, we have not talked much about shows up in Canada or outside of the U.S. at all, but the Western Canada Collectibles Experience is coming up next weekend. This will be April 12th through the 14th. Langley, British Columbia, the Langley BC Events Center. It's going to be a goaltender fest there among the autograph signers. We've got Mike Vernon and Jerry Cheevers, a couple of Hall of Famers right there. John Garrett, who was a very solid keeper for a long time. How about some goalies from the silver screen? Yvonne Barrett, who played at Denis Lemieux in Slapshot, is going to be there. Sean Weiss, who played Goldberg in the Mighty Ducks movies, is going to be there as well. And for those of you who aren't big fans of the goalies, fine. They'll have Rick Vive, Tony Tanti, and Cliff Ronning all signing autographs there as well. Full info can be found at WesternCanadaCollectiblesExperience.ca.
And also April 12th to the 14th, we have the New Jersey Show. That is at the New Jersey Convention and Expo Center. The guests are way, way too numerous to mention here. There will be over 46 autograph guests at that show. And you can go to gtsportsshows.com for the full list while I untie my tongue. I'm stumbling over a little bit here.
GT Sports Shows. That's a little bit of a tongue twister there for sure. Well, here's an interesting one. When I saw this one, I'm like, okay, this has to go on the list. Coming up also in New Jersey this coming week, it's next weekend, I guess, it'll be April 13th and 14th, we have PaisanCon. It is New Jersey's first Italian-American pop culture event and convention. And they're going to have a lot of signers. There are only two in the world of sports, but John Franco is going to be out there, former Mets closer, of course, and Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito, both listed there among the signers. If you want to get more info about this, because, I mean, I love the name PaisanCon right there. I thought FinFest was going to be pretty great for those things. Now this is top to that, but PaisanCon.com. That's PaisanCon.com.
I don't know how we're going to top that one, but we'll try with the West Michigan Card Show on April 13th. And that will be at the HSB building in Wyoming, Michigan. And that runs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on that day only. Now, the signers include Mike Henneman, who will be there for about $10 to $20, and Mickey Tendleton for $15 to $25. And one of the good things about that show in particular is it is free admission. So come browse and grab an autograph from Mr. Henneman.
Yeah. I mean, Henneman and Tendleton are two guys that a lot of people need on sets. If you're working on a set from the late 80s to the late 90s or so, those guys are in everything. So, and they don't really TTM much either. So $10 to $15 on those guys, not bad. Definitely. If you're down closer to my area here in the southwestern part of the U.S., we've got a show up in Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City Card Show on April 13th and 14th. This will be at the Oklahoma City Hawthorne Suites. Unfortunately, I don't have an admission price at all on this one, but I'm sure if you look around, you can find it if you want to get out there. Autograph signer is going to be Aaron Wiggins, Michael Ray Richardson, and Justin Harrington. Wiggins will be signing for $30, but the great thing there, Rich Harrington, each one free autograph with paid admission there. So find yourself some free autographs, or at least autographs for no more than the price that you're paying to get into the show. Go and check that one out up in Oklahoma City.
Next, we have the Chicago Card Show, which is also on April 14th. That show runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Bridgeview Community Center there in Chicago. So there we have BJ Armstrong, as well as wrestlers Candice Michelle and Billy Starks. So BJ Armstrong, I think I've gotten him a few times TTM, but you can go and meet him and get him on whatever you want there. And the signing prices range from about $20 to $40 there in Chicago.
To have another Midwest show, it's the Orlando Gardens Show on April 14th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This one threw me off because when I saw Orlando Gardens Show, I'm thinking, oh, cool, we can throw Florida one on here. No, Orlando Gardens is in St. Louis, Missouri. So hopefully if you're in the Orlando, Florida area and you're hoping to go to that show, well, hope you got a flight booked for it. But yeah, St. Louis, Missouri, it's going to be Art Shamsky, Ron Blomberg, and Leo Mazzoni all signing autographs there. It's run by St. Louis Sports Collectors. I've extolled their virtues before on some purchases I've made through them. So I'm sure they run some great shows as well. STLSportsCollectors.com will have all of the info about that show.
And next we have the Methuen Card Show, which is April 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Methuen, Massachusetts. There, admission is $2, and Derek Sanderson is signing for $25 as one of the attendees there. So again, VFW Hall in Methuen, Massachusetts, April 14th.
There you go. So that about wraps up Baker's Dozen. Had a little bit shorter on a couple areas there, but we made up for it with a nice list of card shows there going on this next weekend. So if you don't have any plans yet, go and check out one of those card shows if you have one near you. Right now, let's go ahead and move on to Clemente's World. We've got Clemente Lisi on here for his monthly appearance on the show. This time we're talking some hockey as per usual. We talk a lot of hockey and soccer typically whenever he's on. And so this week we actually mentioned that he wrote an article for Puck Junk, the great website that Sal Berry runs. And he was talking about the great rookies to look into other than just Connor Bedard from this year's products and other, even some previous products that guys have been in as well. And one right at the very end who is in a non-Upper Deck product for his first card. So go ahead and check this out. We're talking Clemente Lisi in Clemente's World.
You know what that means. It's time for Clemente's World.
All right. Well, it's time for Clemente's World. We're joined again here by Clemente Lisi. Going to be talking some hockey here with him. But before we get into that, Clemente, how things been going? What have you gotten anything new in for the collection here recently at all?
Yeah, good to be with you once again. Yeah, and happy April. Yeah, no, yes. I have a few TTMs I picked up recently, I guess in March. So I have here Freddie Benavides of the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah.
Yep.
He's a good signer. I had this card, this Bowman card, just lying around. So I got that signed. Then this caught my eye. Whenever I see a 1994 Upper Deck World Cup card that's signed, I'm always chasing it. So I've gotten many through TTM, especially a lot of the U.S. players like Tony Meola, Alexi Lalas, but I couldn't pass up for $13 a Carlos Valderrama.
Oh, of course, the hair. I mean, you got to go with that one.
Yeah, so if you're compiling the best all-soccer, all-hair team, let's say, he would be on there. So if you don't know who he is, he's got this huge blonde mane and probably one of the best Colombian players of all time.
He actually
played in with the Miami Fusion in MLS after his after the World Cup. So, yeah, so I couldn't give up on those when I saw them.
I think he'd be captaining that all-hair team. I mean, that was just amazing seeing that out there.
Yeah, you know, so in my binder, I'll put him next to Lalas, who probably is the other one with the great hair from that tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, the flaming red long and the goatee along with it, too, on his. So he's got doubles going there.
Yeah, for those who see Lawless today, he's like clean cut. But back in the 90s, he was very much a grunge rock and roller.
So we've got some hockey to talk about here. And you had a great article here just this past week, a couple days ago, actually, just went up there on Puck Junk, Sal Berry's great website. You're a regular contributor there and talking a little bit about guys other than Bedard. But before we get into those guys, I think we got to talk at least a little bit of Bedard here as any thought of the market dipping on there? I mean, it seemed to happen for a little bit there, but I mean, you look at the grading numbers on him. We've brought him up the last 2 weeks now in the big three. I don't know what it's going to be this week. We don't have the numbers yet. We'll be getting those later in the day from Gemrate. But the last 2 weeks, he was number three on the list and number one on the list on two separate weeks. So Bedard Mania definitely carrying into the grading world there as well.
Yeah, so if you look at the prices, we went from 1200 to 800 to 600 to basically raw now. We're in the 500 zone, and we've been there for a while, okay? I know collectors who've said, look, if it goes to 300, I'm in. Now, some eBay sales have been in the high 400s, 440, 450, but now we're seeing, like you mentioned, a lot of graded versions, and the graded versions are going for, you know, PSA 10, PSA 9 are going for 1,000, 1,200. So for twice as much as the raw. Now, there's no shortage of these Young Guns cards, as you know, and now a lot of them are getting graded. I think it will become someday the most graded hockey card ever, I think. Yeah. And we're well on our way to that. And it will probably challenge Connor McDavid's Young Guns card as the most graded Young Guns card. So Young Guns are not rare. I know it's short printed, but if you print a million boxes of Upper Deck, then you'll have whatever amount of Young Guns. It's not rare. It's hard to get by ripping packs, but it's not rare. And I think the word short print is not a synonym for rare, but people don't understand that, and they're willing to spend $500 for a raw card. Now, people have said to me, if it gets to 300, I'm in. The problem with that is that if it doesn't go to 300 soon, and it doesn't look like it's doing that, if he wins the Calder this summer, it'll bump up again. And what happens is it'll be like a lot of Young Guns cards that we've missed out on over the years. It's in that 500 plus zone that we're just not willing to pay for. You know, most collectors are not willing to do that. And so, because it probably won't hold its value until, you know, who knows how long, because he's still very young. He still hasn't played a complete season. He can get hurt, whatever, all the stuff we always talk about. So it's weird. So all I know is that people I know have it as one of their eBay saved, you know, will it come down? And the truth is, some of them start out in the 200s and then people bid up to 500, 600, and here we go again. So yeah, but I'm not surprised it's graded, because now it's been out for about 5-6 weeks. So yeah, now the graded versions are coming out, and I looked on eBay just this week and there's a lot of graded versions out there.
Going back to what you're saying about the non-rarity, but the kind of perceived rarity of it as well, I just don't get that at all. I mean, like you said, you know, you print like a million copies of just the regular base cards. Okay, yeah, the Young Guns are kind of short printed there because they're, what, one every four packs or something like that. That's still really not that rare. I mean, I would love to know what like the actual print run is on each of those, but I don't think it can possibly be that much lower than just a regular base card.
Well, if you just look even on eBay at the number of amounts sold in just last month, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of them. So yeah, they're not, those are the ones we see online, because this card is out there more, because breakers are breaking the product more than they've ever broken hockey before. So a lot of these cards are getting out there. And so for the first time, people are seeing a large amount of Young Guns in a short amount of time. You know, typically with, as you know, with Upper Deck products, especially Series 1, Series 2, the breakers are not buying the amounts that we're seeing now. So you don't see a lot of it in the wild, but now you're seeing a ton of it. And I think people, you know, hockey collectors are a little wise to this, but the people that, the new people in the hobby, the people that are the speculators, the people that are buying basketball and football and they're jumping into hockey just for this, they're looking to flip it. They're looking to make money. At the same time, there's a lot of other Young Guns, not just Young Guns cards, but other Bedard rookies. So rookie patch autos and marquee rookie from Opeachy. There's a lot of other ways to collect him that's even higher end, and in some cases a little lower end. So, you know, I mean, look, if you want to get the checklist card, he shared the checklist card with Leo Carlson. It's going for about $20. If you're really dying to get your hands on the Bedard Young Guns, get yourself the checklist for $20 and maybe call it a day.
There you go. So maybe just me, and maybe just, you know, because getting older, time goes by quicker. Does it seem like we're seeing more players nowadays getting called like generational talents now? Because, I mean, we're getting it with Bedard. We got it with McDavid. It was said for a little bit with Lafreniere at times. It's been said with, Auston Matthews in Toronto there. But yet you go back, you know, 30, 40 years, you had Gretzky. Then you really didn't have another one until Lemieux came along. Then what, Lindros was the next one. Just, it seems like it's being overused almost. And kind of, I wonder how much that kind of builds into that hype as well.
Yeah. The hype machine is out there. And I think it's because of the internet, social media. Yeah. The players you mentioned, we're living in a pre-social media age. Sidney Crosby may be the last him, and then you have McDavid as the generational talents. But I've heard this term now used for Caitlin Clark. I've heard it used for, CJ Stroud. I mean, I'm hearing it for a lot of different players in a lot of different sports. And after a while, you have to wonder, maybe it's overused, and maybe we have to give these players a few years. Because you mentioned Lafreniere. People have cooled on him, but he's actually having a very good season in New York. But because it's 4 years later, people have moved on, and you can get his Young Guns card for $40 when it was 600, Okay, because people don't have the patience. The collectors do, but it's the speculators that want to flip instantaneously. And so in Bedard, they found a gold mine, but they're not going to find that with every player. And that dovetails into my piece. I wrote a Puck Junk on, hey, look, there's other rookies out there you should collect. And so it's not just Bedard, but hockey fans already know that. But it's the maybe the new people or the speculators don't really know that. As a result of Bedard getting all the attention, I think a lot of other rookies from this season are being totally overlooked. So.
That's a perfect transition. I was about to say, all right, let's move on to that and let's go right ahead because that works just perfectly well there. But just taking a look at your article here, you had your top five in there. And even before you got into those, you mentioned like Luke Hughes and Leo Carlson are among the guys that are out there as big name rookies right now that they get overshadowed by Bedard a bit, but hey, those are strong ones to look at there as well.
They are. They didn't make my like five list because people are hip to Carlson
Yes.
and Hughes. Their cards are going for a decent amount. I mean, I think the last time I checked, Carlson Young Guns were going for $100, which sounds like nothing compared to 1,200 graded for Bedard, but it's still a decent amount of money for a player that I think will be very good over time. But the key with hockey too is that the players, it matters what market they're in. That's key.
Yes.
And so Lafreniere got a lot of attention because he's in New York, but Bedard gets a lot of attention because he's very good, but also because he's in Chicago. That helps. Now, I should address the elephant in the room. I got a lot of heat on social media this week because I didn't mention Adam Fantilli, okay?
Okay.
And that's because he's in Columbus, okay? And that does not help him. If let's say Bedard had ended up in Columbus, look, Bedard is still an amazing player. But playing for the Blue Jackets is not the same thing as playing for the Blackhawks, an original
Right.
six team in the third biggest market in North America. So that matters. So yeah, I didn't mention Fantilli. He's a great player, but his Young Guns card will never be what we want it to be because of that reason. And there's been players who played in Buffalo and other places, and they've been overshadowed by the market they're in. And that's just the nature of sports, but also particularly hockey. And so so my list took that into consideration. I did not address that. And so people were having kind of a meltdown. Adam Fantilli, he's amazing. He's not on your list. Why? And that's why.
I mean, you look at it just across all of hockey's history there. If you were to tell somebody, hey, name off every 500 goal scorer, they're going to leave off a guy like Dave Andrechuk, who is a great player. And it's because, just like you said, he was stuck in, in Buffalo for so long, in New Jersey in between cups. He had a little bit of time in Toronto, but not that much. But yeah, it just doesn't work out in some cities there, the Columbuses, the Phoenixes, anything like that. So,
The Winnipegs, a great
yes.
example is a more recent example is Jack Eichel. Now, Jack
Yes.
Eichel was an amazing player, is an amazing player, played in Buffalo for many years. Of course, by the time he got to the Golden Knights and won the Stanley Cup, his Young Guns card, it was kind of too late for him. Like, you can get his Young Guns card probably for okay money. It's not going to bankrupt you. And had he been on the Golden Knights from day one, or had he been in like New York or Chicago or even LA, his value would have been through the roof. And so he's a good example of another player in Buffalo. I feel like the two places I think about most are Buffalo and maybe even Winnipeg as being almost these outposts that get very little attention. Short of winning the Stanley Cup, no one thinks about those teams.
Yeah, exactly. So just looking over your list here, to start out, you had two Minnesota Wild players on your list there, Marco Rossi and Brock Faber. And I've already seen a few jokes about Wild fans going nuts on, oh, Faber should be the real Calder winner and all that kind of stuff, which let's all tap the brakes there a little bit. But it's good to see two Minnesota players up there as well. That's a team that has surprised me a bit this year. Just they've completely flown under the radar for me, but they've got a game coming up against Colorado, which is my wife's team. And I happen to look and see their record, and I'm like, when did that happen? Wow, when did they get good again? But there you go, two big rookies there to lead things off for them.
Yeah, and these rookies have really spearheaded this team. And look, Minnesota, we know, is an amazing hockey market because the whole state of Minnesota is into hockey. And even when they lost the North Stars, it was like the Dodgers leaving Brooklyn, right? It was crazy. And so they have a team again. They've had a team for a while, and maybe they'll be a playoff contender. Who knows? But Marco Rossi, people are like, wait, hasn't this guy been in the league for like 3 years? He
Yeah.
hasn't. He hasn't played enough, and he kind of came in during the pandemic. So he didn't get enough games under his belt. He actually still qualifies technically as a rookie. Of course, his Young Guns card can be found back in 21, 22. So you have to go back a few years to get his Young Guns card. And that makes it even less valuable, less appealing, because people are opening new products. So they're not going back 3 years and opening old products. But you should, because that wax is not that expensive. And maybe you get yourself a nice Marco Rossi Young Guns. Now, Brock Faber is different. He's in this year's sets. He's in series one. And I think together they've been pretty amazing. And I think Minnesota fans already know this. But for everyone else across the league who's not paying attention because there's too many teams and we're all focused on our own teams or our wife's teams, then yeah, but Minnesota is the real deal. And who knows? The Stanley Cup playoffs are really, really difficult. So we'll see how far they go. Will someone like Brock Faber or Marco Rossi compete for the Calder? Is going to be very difficult. I don't think Bedard will be dislodged, because just the name recognition. And look, Bedard has had an amazing season. He's also played a ridiculous amount of minutes, and that also helps him.
Moving on down the list, we've got another one of the I always lump all of Columbus, Nashville, and Minnesota all together. So they all came into the league there in that same time. But we've got a Predator here up on the list next. Luke Evangelista, right wing there for the Predators. And I did not know this. You mentioned right there that he's the second cousin of Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah, that's kind of like if we're still making cards with a fun fact on the back, that would be totally his fact. But yeah, like the fact that he's related to another amazing player who was on the Devils, who doesn't get the love and the support and attention he should get. But yeah, Luke Evangelista is a very good player, solid. He's a real rookie in that this is his first season. And look, Nashville is becoming a decent hockey market, I think. And so, and he's a right wing player. He's an attacking player. Players who score goals are the ones that are going to get most attention here, and that's just the way it is. Even though I love collecting defensemen, but given his pedigree and given some of the numbers he's put up this year, he's kind of a sleeper. I would definitely buy his cards. They're not that expensive, and it's the kind of thing where he can make good in a couple of years, and then you're on the ground floor of getting in really cheap. And look, for people collect sets or collect, they need all the Young Guns cards anyway. You might as well get them when they're cheap, because once they start gaining people's interest, they go from $5 to $10 to hundreds of dollars, and then you don't want to be there for that. It's too little, too late.
All right, continuing on, we've got going up north of the border here with Connor Zeri from the Calgary Flames. He's another guy that I, again, don't really know a whole lot about. Flames have kind of fallen off a bit again after, a couple playoff seasons there, but good to see a guy from there making the list as well.
Yeah, so he was drafted back in 2020, so kind of forgotten, then was quickly put in the WHL to gain some experience. Look, you might argue that Calgary is not a great market, but I consider mostly all the Canadian teams to be decent markets because it is Canada. And look, he's a center, he's scoring goals, and you never know what he can do. So, back in 2020, he was seen as a really a top prospect, and he's in series two this year. He's in the same set with Bedard. And look, if you're going to spend money on series two boxes and rip them, you might as well put the Young Guns aside. And this is one of the ones you want to put aside. Now, the last one is
Definitely.
controversial. This is the one that got me the most heat. So.
I can understand that as well. So number five is the tough guy, or well, I'll there's more I'd want to say on that, but we'll go with the big right wing, big, is he winger, I think, if I remember right, Matt Rempe there of the Rangers.
Yeah, so look, it's really cool, I think, that this guy was drafted 165th overall back in
All right.
2020, basically in the cemetery of draft picks. Like, these guys never make the NHL, okay? But not only did he make his debut in the outdoor game, which is the first time anyone's ever done that, then Topps Now made a sticker for him, okay? And on top of that, he's 6'7" and he's like an enforcer type, like old school, And so that checks all the boxes for me as like, wow, this is like, as a journalist, it's like that this is a great story. Now, for collectors, it's like, wait, you mean He's probably going to get back demoted to the AHL. He's not that good. And you're telling me to buy his sticker. It's like it checks all the wrong boxes for collectors. But look, I think stickers are underrated. As a soccer guy, I think stickers are great. The Bedard Tops Now stickers are actually selling for okay money, $10, $20, right?
Nice.
And look, it's a way to get into the, I'm not an anti-sticker, it's a way to collect, right? Look, it's not for everybody, I get that. But in some ways, when Matt Rempe gets his own Young Guns card, which he may get an extended series, he may get series one next year, depends, right? People will say, well, that's going to be his real rookie. And that's why I put this here, because I hate this real rookie fight.
Yes.
There's no real rookie. Yes, Upper Deck, series one, two, extended is flagship. I get it. But it's not, there's no real rookie compared to a fake rookie, And
Right.
so look, and this card is this card or this sticker you want, is going for online like $14, some cases more, some cases less. But it's a price point people could actually access. And look, I live in New York. So in New York, this guy's getting a lot of attention. And so he's in the right market. Now, if Matt Rempe was playing in Winnipeg, maybe he wouldn't get the attention. But look, it's a great story. I mean, like I mentioned, his debut in the NHL Stadium Series against the Islanders, the first rookie ever to debut in an outdoor game. You got a sticker. I mean, all this stuff to me is like very romantic. And we live in a world where a lot of romance has left sports. So, hey, cut me some slack. He made the list. Deal with it.
And tough guys like him always have a degree of collectability. I mean, all you have to do is look at the popular products like The Enforcers and Enforcers 2 by In the Game. Go back 20 years to a set that I'm trying to get autographed with the Fleer Throwback set. They always have a popularity, either regionally for their favorite local tough guy or among collectors like me that, still have all of our old DVD compilations of fights and everything that we watch. So he's worth taking note of, I think, just because of that fact.
Yeah, and you mentioned In the Game, they have a card out that I'm chasing in some ways, which is a kind of a, I think it's a dual patch of Bob Probert and Ty Domi. That's
Oh,
like,
nice.
to me, that's like the holy grail
Yes.
of hockey enforcer cards, like the two biggest enforcers of the 90s on one card, But you're right, there's a mystique around that, and I think the league had lost or at least discouraged fighting for a while, and I feel like this year it's kind of back. It was this big, I'm sure people saw this big brawl between the Rangers and the Devils, and it
Yep.
was viral. And then you have Matt Rempe, who's being a tough guy, and there's just more fighting, and it feels a little bit more like between all the finesse scoring, like a la Gretzky and Messier, and then you have all this fighting, like a la Ty Domi and Bob Probert. In some ways, I feel like it's a little bit throwback 90s this season, and I kind of like it. But we'll see what long term what the league thinks, because I think the league doesn't not like fighting really. But I think for old time hockey fans, I think it's fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the league has used fighting as a scapegoat for a few things for quite a long time. And I think finally they're kind of realizing, okay, hey, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's some other things there that, because when you look at like a guy like, what was his name? Martin from the Sabres that died about 10 or so years ago. He was not a fighter at all. He was not a guy who was going to go throwing his body around recklessly. And when he died, they found evidence of CTE in him. So it's like, guys, if you're blaming fighting for this, stop. It goes on in a lot of other places than just fighting. And I think the league's finally starting to see that possibly. You're kind of starting to see, okay, hey, we can get away with a little bit more of this again. And it makes for an entertaining game, at least.
Yeah, look, and CT is a serious topic. I don't want to
Yes.
downplay that, but that happens with guys getting checked in the boards, guys getting
Exactly.
ground. I mean, it happens in a lot of other facets of the game that are still part of the game. It's not just from the fighting. And so, yeah, and look, the league has to kind of balance that. I mean, look, CT is a big problem in the NFL, and we haven't stopped playing football. I mean, football is still the number one sport in America. So, yeah, look, I understand those issues. But at the same time, it's not the only culprit. I think scapegoat is a good way to put it.
So there you go. Any other thoughts on any other rookies that didn't make the list that you'd want to mention and bring up here as guys to watch out for?
Okay, so I'll confess, number six, Adam Fantilli, but he didn't
Okay,
make my
there
list.
you go.
No,
Yeah.
but top five, that was my top five.
Nice. Pretty good. Pretty good. All right. Any other thoughts before we call an end to the segment here?
No, I now we're getting into the really good part of the hockey season, which is
Yes.
the regular season is ending and the playoffs start soon. When we talk again next month, we'll be in full playoff mode. And Anything can happen.
Yes. I mean, even just coming down the stretch right now, my wife's Avs are already in, and my Penguins were left for dead a few weeks ago, and
Oh, they're yeah,
they're
they're
sneaking their way
alive.
back to make themselves to put themselves in contention at least. The problem is, I don't know if I'd rather, you know, have them maintain their first round pick this year by finishing, you know, in a top 10 pick position there, missing the playoffs, or see them, you know, sneak their way in the playoffs. I don't know where I stand right now.
Well, I'll end on this note. The Penguins, they're always leaving it to the end. And last year they didn't
Yes.
make it in. This year they can make it in. And if they do make it in, it's because of one player, Sidney Crosby,
Yes.
which also congratulations on his autograph. I saw
Thanks.
that. And that's an amazing get. Every hockey collector I know was salivating when they saw that. I mean, one of my favorite comments on one of your on the Facebook post was, how? And that was
Yes.
like great. But the backstory is amazing. I know you've told it, but you know, in a season where he's been so pivotal, it's also kind of nice to have gotten that, I think.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah, definitely good to add him in, and he has been the charge for that team. I mean, I went to that Penguin Stars game after right after getting that autograph, and my God, just watching the Penguins in that is like there's something seriously wrong with this team, and I don't know what it was, but something just snapped for him after that. It seemed like he's just been on a tear ever since then. And if they get in the playoffs, it's going to be because of him. If they don't, there is a lot of other blame to go around for, that's for sure.
That's the way it always is.
Yes. All right, Clemente, thanks once again for joining us here on the show. Well, big thanks to Clemente for joining us here once again as we move on now to Making the Grade.
Making the Grade is sponsored by CGC Cards. All card grading, all in one place. Certified guarantee company, CGC, devoted to the expert grading of collectible cards. Visit cgccards.com today.
Making the Grade is a summary of everything related to the world of grading here in the sports collectibles hobby. And we've got some numbers from gemrate.com. You know, we're changing it up a little bit right here because we've got some monthly numbers instead of some weekly numbers.
Yeah, we as if the weekly numbers weren't big enough. Now we're talking about the entire month of March for all the major grading companies. So first we have PSA, which hit a new monthly record, according to Gemrate, with 1.33 million cards, which is up 8% over their, that must be the previous month then, right?
Yes.
Great. And then CGC had 185K, which was up 62%. SGC, 147K, which was up 22%. And the only one that was a little bit down with the month of March was Beckett with 66K. That was down 6%. So in total, between those top four companies, 1.73, I'm not going to do it again, million cards graded between the big four companies.
Wow. So there you go. Some great numbers there, courtesy of Gemrate. And speaking of whom, Gemrate provides us with the Big Three.
This week's Big Three is brought to you by Gemrate.com. Whose cards are hot and whose cards are cold this week? Let's find out from our friends at Gemrate.com.
The Big Three compiles the top three and bottom three players in terms of upward and downward movement and number of cards graded over the previous week. This is an exclusive to TTM Cast. So the only place you'll ever find this is right here. Take a look at the three risers, the big three risers from this previous week. Brandon Miller topping the list. He and Justin Jefferson both actually kind of tied for the top spot there. 59% increase on each of them over the previous week from in their grading numbers. Caitlin Clark coming in at third again this week. So once again, holding on to that number three spot, this time up 49% over the previous week. And it's her 2023 Bowman U Now base card. That is the big winner among individual cards this week. 500 copies were graded last week among the big four companies there. That is a four times increase over the previous week. So Clark Mania is keeping with us for now. And I don't see, just like Connor Bedard, I don't see dropping off anytime soon. Speaking of drop-offs, Troy, what are we looking at for the guys who are falling a bit here this week?
Well, we have Don Mattingly, who was down 14%. Local Ames native, even though he was only born here. So Joe Burrow, down 18%. Yoshinobu Yamamoto was down 56%. So
wow.
Again, wanted to thank gemrate.com for all of those numbers.
Absolutely. They do a great service, and we're glad to have them on board here as a partner. And I think next week we're actually going to be hearing from Ryan with Gemrate, and he'll give us a reading on the Big Three. So we'll get him on the show for a little short segment there as well.
Yeah, that'll be great.
So, yeah, definitely. So as we move on from there, let's go ahead and get into our TTM Cast Stamp of Approval.
I bet you're wondering, who earned this week's TTM Cast Stamp of Approval?
Well, the TTM Cast Stamp of Approval is just a great way to kind of show that we're not just all about sports and sports collectibles, even though, I mean, I think both of ours are kind of at least tangentially related to all of that. So I guess we're really not quite as round as we'd like to think we are, or at least we're not showing it here. But we've got some great stuff here, though. I mean, I'll go ahead and take mine real quick here first, and I want to give my stamp approval this week to Office Depot. I've been one of the things I enjoy doing is whenever I don't have a card of a player, I like to make my own custom cards, and I go through and I try to replicate old designs. And fortunately, there is a guy on one of the Facebook groups for custom card creation who has done templates of like every single design that I could possibly ever want and has them available for free download to use in Photoshop. And I'm like, I will gladly take any that you have there. So for this year, I'm doing the 1994 Topps set for my customs for a lot of any games I go to, and hopefully you can see this on there, Troy, but there's an example of one of them that I made right there, if you can see it on the screen.
Oh, nice.
So it's got an Aiden Anderson one here with the Rough Riders on. No back, unfortunately. I had to do blank backs on them. But one of the problems I've had here is I used to always go through a couple of online companies for printing all my customs, and they did a great job. They just took a while. It'd be like, you know, 2 to 3 week turnaround because they're having to print them up, they're being shipped from China and all this other stuff, and just took forever to get to me sometimes. So my last time I tried to order some, they threw it back at me and said, no, these we can't print these because they have trademark logos and all this, and it has players on them, and unless you have their permission, we really can't print them. It's like, okay, well, I'm back to square one again. What do I do now? Well, I figured I would try my luck by going down to Office Depot and seeing, all right, hey, can I print these off on cardstock? And they're like, yeah, no problem. Just run it through there. We'll print it for you. And didn't ask any questions or anything like that. I think the girl at the counter, just she saw the lacrosse cards that I made. She's like, oh, lacrosse fan? I'm like, yeah, a little bit. Season ticket holder. So, you know, it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, there you go. The price was absolutely incredible. I was able to do 6 cards per page and for 13 pages total, which is, if you're wanting to do the math there, that is, 78 cards, if my math is correct there. So had to cut them down myself, but still, I will gladly do that. But I didn't even pay $15 for the whole printing on that.
Wow.
So, yeah, super happy with how that turned out. The quality is great. The cardstock is great for it. The print quality looks incredible. So my TTM Cast stamp approval this week goes to Office Depot and their printing services because they have really saved my bacon on making some custom cards.
It's really interesting because you hear about a lot of the big chain stores. Mm-hmm. That was exactly what that other place did, and they'll say, oh, this is copyright. Like I've actually tried to print some of my own photos that I've taken. Yes. And they say, do you have a release? And I'm like, you want me to fill one out? I took the picture, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So no, that's great.
Yeah, it's been I mean, even going back to the NFL draft in 2018, I printed up index cards to try to get for my Heisman index card collection, in case I saw some of those guys down there. Yep. And when I took them to FedEx Kinko's, are like, nope, that's a college team logo. We can't print that at all. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So I just, you know, went home mm-hmm. and printed myself in black and white. So yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Well, mine kind of has to do with office products as well.
Yeah.
I ran out of 6 3/4 envelopes, and like a dummy, I went to Walmart and grabbed a couple boxes just to get me through, and they were the gummed version. And so I was like, well, I don't want to put players through that. So yep. I took those back, and then I'm like, well, I'll go locally to the local office supply store, and they were pretty expensive. They were like $50, maybe a little bit more for a 500 count box. So I went back to Amazon and I grabbed these envelopes that are from Endoc, ENDOC, and they are easy peel envelopes, and a box of 500 for $29.99. And I was expecting, you know, I've ordered from there before and the box comes crushed. And so you lose like yes. 5 on the ends and 5. These were in a really, I don't have the box here, but really sturdy box. And then when I opened them up, they are very heavyweight. I think they said 24-pound weight on the envelopes, security lined, and they just feel a lot better than the ones that I used to get at the supply store in town in that 500 box. So for $30 for 500, I considered that a big win. And then I ran out of labels, so I should have ordered labels as well. But so, yeah, the ENDOC 6 3/4 envelopes from Amazon. Highly recommend those if you're looking for some bulk envelopes for those the send back to you.
That's perfect. I was actually just about to ask if they were security lined there, which you said they were. So because the last 6 3/4 I ordered were not. So it's like, all right, well, at least now I know that this is one that I've sent recently as it comes back to me there. But I like having that little extra bit of security there. So that's like, nah, nobody knows what's inside there.
Yeah, they've actually been really great.
Nice. That's great. So I'll definitely be looking into those for next time. And so hopefully that helps you collectors out there out as well with our this week's stamps of approval. There we go. Coming up next, we've got the Vern Rap Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to the memory of Mr. Vern Rapp, former Major League ball player and manager. Our show's founder, Jeff Baker, mailed to him not knowing that he had already passed away. And so we provide this as a service to other collectors out there so that you don't make the mistakes that we have made and actually send to somebody who has already passed away. First one this week, we lost Dave Forbes from the world of hockey. Dave was a left winger from 1973 to 79 for the Bruins, Capitals, and the Cincinnati Stingers of the WHA. His best season was in 74-75 with the Bruins. He put up 18 goals and 21 assists for 30 points and had 80 penalty minutes for those big bad Bruins teams. Dave was an excellent TTMer. He was 75 years old.
Next, we have Mike Mercer. He played in the NFL and was a kicker from 1961 to 1970. Some of the teams he played for were Minnesota, Oakland, Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, and San Diego. You might remember him from the 1967 Pro Bowl, as well as being a 1966 AFL champ. Now, Mike Mercer was a pretty good to excellent TTMer over the years, and he passed away at age 88.
Surprise this week, we lost Vontae Davis. Vontae was a defensive back from 2009 to 2018 with the Dolphins, the Colts, and the Bills. Played in back-to-back Pro Bowls as well in 2014 and 2015. You may remember as well that he played his last game in 2018 just after signing a big contract with Buffalo. Their first game went disastrously, and at halftime, he told the team, "That's it, I'm out of here, I'm retiring." Took off his uniform and left, and indeed did retire at halftime of the first game that season. Vontae was an excellent, at least an occasional TTMer early on in his career. Stopped signing around 2013 or so, if I remember right. He was 35 years old.
And next we have Mike Colon, who was a linebacker from 1970 to 1977, and he was nicknamed Captain Crunch. He was a two-time Super Bowl champion and a pretty good TTMer through 2020, and he was 76 years old.
And for this week, we lost Pat Zachary. Pat was a pitcher for about 10 seasons in the Major Leagues from 1976 to 1985. The Reds, the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Phillies. Back in 76, he was the Rookie of the Year winner there with the Reds and won the World Series with them as well as they swept the Yankees in four games. That year, he went 14-7 with a 2.74 ERA and then went 2-0 with a 3.08 ERA in the postseason. Pat was an excellent TTMer, charged $10 to do so, but had a very quick response if you sent that money to him. He was 71 years old. A lot of thoughts are with you if you've lost anyone this week, and hopefully that's not the case. We'll move on now to TTM Returns.
Was our mailbox full this week? Let's take a look at this week's TTM Returns.
That's the main reason why we all are here. Our mailboxes, fortunately, have been a little bit better this week than they were the last couple of weeks here. And I know, Troy, you were talking earlier this week. You're like, I've only gotten a couple back. And then you said you had a minor bonanza here the last day or two there. So definitely good to see that. And we'll let you go ahead and you give the rundown of what you got there first.
Yeah, today was four by itself. So saved by Friday. So I have, again, these are for those who are keeping score at home. I have been sending out every single 1990 and 1991 Hoops card that I have, or at least every player that signs. Obviously, I'm not sending to some of the big guys, but I have this week Les Jepsen, as well as two of two, I believe, from Vern Fleming from the Pacers. Again, the two hoops. Bill Hanslick, who signed three of three. So you can't see these. I'm used to saying, there you go, but you can't see them, can you? Scott Hafner signed two of two. And I'm just taking a chance on these. And if I only have one of a card, but I have two of them, I'm sending both. So I try to get different cards whenever I send, but I'm like, well, let's just throw them in and see if he'll sign two of the same card. And so far, people are pretty receptive to that. And then we have Dave Hoppen, two of two. And all of these were in about 9 to 11 days. So you see I kind of have three H's there with an F and a J. You can tell that those were all within about the same time. I'm getting kind of predictable, aren't I, Drew?
It happens to all of us. I mean, I go through streaks where I send out, you know, just football ones or just baseball ones or something like that. So if you're doing bulk basketball like that, oh yeah, it's going to happen with the letters there, I'm sure too.
What do you have for this week?
I've gotten, let's see here, it was six that came in this week. It was kind of scattered around. I know I mentioned that two of these guys I mentioned back on last week's show that I had coming in, but I wanted to hold off until this week to make sure they were who I thought they were. And they were indeed, as Joe LaFever was was one of those two. He was, of course, a former outfielder for, the Yankees, Padres, and the Phillies, at least. Maybe a couple other teams in there. But he signed three cards for me in about, I think it was 6 weeks or so on that. I got hockey player Randy Cunnyworth. He signed, I think it was four cards, maybe five. Four cards. He kept my Penguins card, unfortunately, which is for the set that I'm doing, but I'll try him again later. This took only 10 months to get back to me through his home address, but it got back to me. That's all that matters to me there. So happy to add that one in. Okay, I got to ask anyone who does this. Do you ever take two players with similar names and race them? Like sending to both Greg Harris at the same time and see who comes back first?
I've wanted to, but I don't know.
I have done that with the Greg Harrises. And this time I did it with the former Expos Smiths, with Bryn Smith and Zane Smith.
Oh.
I mailed them both out on the same day. And for the first time ever, we have a tie. They both came back on the same day as well. They both signed all four cards that I sent, including for Bryn Smith. He is on the 1982 Topps Expos rookie card that has him. Who was it? Totally blanking on the name here now, but I'm trying to save the biggest name for the last titles. I'm going to have to look this up now because I've got it sitting right here. With Brad Mills was the one who I TTM'd first on that.
Okay.
So I got Brad Mills on it, got it back, sent it off to Bryn Smith this time and got it back. And now just need Terry Francona on that one, which, I mean, he doesn't do any TTMing, but hopefully he'll have some appearances or some signings or something like that at some point, and I might be able to get him there and finish that off, because I mean he's a guaranteed future Hall of Famer just about, and I like getting those Hall of Fame rookie cards done there. I like having that one, you know, finished by all three hopefully at some point. So see if we can get that one. Last two I got in this week, we got Steve Balboni, of course, a former Royals and Yankees power hitter. It's funny, he was a guy that both the Smiths I had also mailed off to several years ago, and I'm like, all right, yeah, we'll go ahead and send them again. Well, Balboni I mailed off to around 2011 or so. I got the card back signed. It was for the one of the sets I'm working on. And at some point, the envelope got like dropped on something and had something land on it and got creased on the card there before I was able to put it up. So like, I'll replace it eventually. And 13 years later, I'm sitting here going, I should probably get on that now. So Went ahead and grabbed one off sport lots there for fairly cheap, mailed it off, and had it back about 2 weeks on the turnaround, maybe even a little bit less there. So the Zane and Bryn Smith were both about the same amount of time there, 2 weeks as well as Balboni, sent them all on the same day. And the last one I got in, I sent out probably about 2 months or so ago, I want to say, is Randy Grimes, former center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the late 80s to early 90s. He actually had a severe drug problem, started as a player and continued well after his playing career. But ever since then, he has gotten clean and is working in drug rehab as well now. So good that he's able to kind of put his experiences toward helping out others there as well. And he signed the cards I sent to him and also enclosed his business card, which talks about his book as well on it and has some info about his he's got three different websites on there. Offcenterthebook.com for his for that book. RandyGrimesSpeaks.com, which is about booking for speaking appearances, and ProAthletesInRecovery.org. So any former pro athletes that have been involved in drug and alcohol rehab from their playing careers and post-playing careers. I know Vance Johnson is another one who's been involved in a lot of that. And I believe it's Sam McDowell that we had on the show a couple of years ago there when Jeff was still around and able to host and interview everybody. And he had him on for a bit too. So several of them out there, and I'm sure you can find out more about them through those websites that Randy Grimes has.
That's great. Yeah, excuse me. In addition to our returns, I don't know if you've ever mentioned that I believe Ruthie sends you Jeff's returns to put in your article. Do you want to tell everybody where they could see some of the returns that are still coming into the Bakers?
Definitely. We've had a few of them on. My wife read those off a few weeks ago. So we've been talking about those. And yeah, I'm planning on starting to put those in on my articles. They're at Sports Collectors Daily. So I haven't gotten around to those yet. But once I do, we'll have those up on there. We'll talk about those. And we've even talked about possibly doing some giveaways with some of those replies as well. So like I said, we've got some giveaways that will be coming up in the next few weeks. Keep an eye out for that. We're not sure quite how we're going to run all of those just yet. But yeah, we're going to have some chance to win a part of the Jeff Baker collection, I guess, right there. So I got some items that are coming back from that he had mailed out as well. So try to get some more info about that, about all those two people on upcoming shows, upcoming articles, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah. So let me see. I think that just about does it here for the week. So hopefully the mailboxes keep on flowing here as they have here for us the last couple of weeks. And once again, a big thanks to Clemente Lisi for joining us in Clemente's world. Next week, we're going to have a Collector's Corner segment. Not sure who I'm going to be talking to for that just yet, but we'll find somebody to interview in there. And as I mentioned earlier on, that Paul Buxton, who let us know about that show coming up in Canada, he is going to be our guest co-host next week as Troy is out of town. So of course, Paul has been on the show before a couple of years ago. I know Jeff interviewed him in a Collector's Corner segment, and so we'll have him standing in here for Troy and see what he's got for us there as he comes on to stand in for you. So before we sign off, Troy, any other thoughts before we put a bow on this one?
No, spring is in the air, and yeah, Everybody's looking. As baseball starts, that also means that college is ending here in town, so looking forward to all the graduation and for Ames to get a little bit quieter for the summer already. So that's what baseball season means to me, is a quieter college town.
Those damn kids off of our lawns.
It's good for business, but the roads are the roads are a lot better.
Yes. So there you go. Once again, everybody, thank you for tuning in this week. Wishing you many happy returns. We'll see you on TTM Cast next week.
Hey, everyone, be good.